beginning with Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1 today. Coming off a very important teaching about being in God's Word. And we talked about 5 points about being in God's Word. And first was very simply, get a copy for yourself. You know, get a copy, get your own Bible, get one that you're comfortable with, a translation, and go for it. Obtaining a copy, take it with you, was number two. Just a quick review, very important points. Take your Bible with you. Some of you have it electronically now, so that's very convenient. Read your Bible, even more important. Read your Bible, and it gave a qualifier to that. All the days of your life, read your Bible. Okay, that's a great commitment. I'm committed to that. We all kind of committed to that last week. Learn the fear of the Lord. We talked about humility. As we get in awe of God and learn about Him, we kind of get a perspective of who we are and who He is, and we kind of shrink. We have that incredible shrinking process. But it's a beautiful thing. There's nothing like being humbled by God, because you're in a place where He can exalt you then. He can exalt you like a child, and He can raise you in the way He will raise you. So it's an awesome experience to go through the world, go through the Word, and be humbled by it, and grow in the Lord that way. And finally, the fifth point was to do the Word of God. And the satisfaction that comes from doing the work of God, to doing His will, following His Word, and knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. What a satisfying experience. Amen. We know, all of us know here, but we need to be reminded, including myself, that it's not a spectator sport, our engagement in the Scripture. We don't come here for clean ears. We come to be changed. We are in this for life. It is a lifelong commitment, but it's more than quantity. It's quality, a quality of life, being a child of God. Every day, speaking of quantity, every day is extremely valuable. Quality. I can't imagine going to Lowe's, of course, and buying a tool and hanging a picture, then throwing the tool out. We get equipped here as we go through the Word, and then it becomes part of what we are. That tool chest remains with us. Praise the Lord. Beginning in verse 1 here, the priest. Stop right there. The priest. Chapter 18, verse 1. Whenever you see the role of priest, we should be reminded. We should bring that forward. Who is the priest today? Who are the priests today? We know the great priest is Jesus Christ. He's the chief priest. But who are the priests? When it's talking in plural, the priest and priestesses of today. We're all here. Here we are. If I had a mirror, I'd just show you the mirror. Because that's who we are. We're priests and priestesses. We didn't come up with that idea. That's God has ordained us and called us forward into that place. The most basic definition of a priest is an intercessor between God and man. All right, it's somebody that is communicating with God, but also communicating with man. So we act in that behalf a lot of times for the world and our families. We're praying. We're doing a type of intercession. We're praying for our kids. We're taking on that priestly duty. We're praying for our parents. We're taking on that priestly duty. And it's an awesome duty. Intercession is a powerful way to pray. We'll be talking a little bit more about that today, revisiting that topic. Jesus Christ, of course, the chief priest, is exactly that. He's the intercessor between God and man, ultimately. Where is he? You don't see him? There's his hands right here. His hands. Eyes right there. There's his ears. His feet. Mouth. Speaking his word. His mouth. He's all around you. We are his body. He's the head of the church, and we're his body. Literally the hands and the feet. There's a new song, at least it was new to me, I heard recently, and it asked the question in the song, in the lyrics of the song, what is God doing about all the trouble and the needs in the world? And it was kind of a video that I watched was showing difficulty and challenges in the world and what's God doing about all of this trouble in the world. And the answer in the song came, He made you. Very profound song, very simple, very biblical, very sound. We are the hands, the feet, the ears, the eyes, all of that. God is the head, and He directs us as He will to do His work on this earth, to respond to those needs. When we have a coin drive for the Pregnancy Care Center, which we just finished up doing, it's to the glory of God that people respond because it's the Spirit of God in His church, His people, His priests. That's why I'm careful not to pull on the fleshly emotion strings. Be careful not to do that when it comes to those type of things. But rather appeal to the Spirit of God indwelling in each of His vessels. We're priests and priestesses. I don't need to play emotional games or pull on strings and do things that way. We simply give because we have that nature of God, and I appeal to that. And praise God that we're able to do that. And we were lifting them up in prayer last night even, Pregnancy Care Center. The Great Commission was not given to the angels or something mysterious out there, invisible, but the Spirit-filled people of God, His church, you and me. So as we look at God's word regarding the priest and priestesses, we need to take it personally and ask, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to all of us? As a priest within the body of Christ, who is the chief priest. All right, I got one word done today. Doing great, right? Let's continue. The priest, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and His inheritance. Therefore, shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as He had said unto them. So here we have the people of Israel, a certain tribe, Levi, is being set apart, and they're being called a priest. Taking that forward today, the whole church is called a priest. Something alive and working between the created and the creator. We see something developing here between intimately with God. That's what the priesthood is about, intimacy with God. Ministering unto the Lord and ministering unto man. So the go-between happening, but there's action and there's life going on between God and man. There's traffic moving, you know what I mean? What is the matter with possessions and inheritance? What is this matter that's being brought up? What does it mean in verse 2? What is he talking about? This, the Lord is their inheritance. What does that phrase mean? If we don't know, we should find out, because guess what? You are. It applies to us. We are priests. So what does it mean that the Lord is their inheritance? And what does it mean to us? There's actually two distinct things being discussed here with regards to the priesthood, your priesthood. From verse 1, it says no part or inheritance. Two distinct things. Part means possessions. That's stuff. You're familiar with that. The Lord is our part or possession and inheritance. Possession speaks of things now, that stuff now, we can see, we've got accumulated in our closet. Inheritance speaks of things laid up in the future. Let's take a look at inheritance quickly here. Our motto as believers, believe it or not, is not, he who dies with the most toys wins. You'll see that on some bumper stickers. I haven't seen it lately. I remember seeing that a lot maybe 10 years ago. Really? I think they all died. And by the way, it's neither is it he who had the poorest wins either. That doesn't apply either. Some people think that's holy to be poor and just have no possessions. In fact, there's religions that are based on that. There'll be a man that lives in a paper box with one bowl. That's his only possession. And that kind of the Hindu religion and that kind of thing. And they find it, you know, just getting rid of all possessions. That's the answer to life. That's salvation to them. But that's not who wins either. That's not the idea. The gospel takes us a step further than that. The key is, who dies in Christ wins. You could put that on your bumper sticker. The Lord is our inheritance. All right, more of what this means. Something wonderful is waiting for us. Peter brings us forward in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. It ain't going to rust. It's not going to ache. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to fall apart. Incorruptible, undefiled. Not going to be plagued with sin and all those temptations that go after us all, that nipping at our heels all the time like a little chihuahua. And that fades not away. Reserved in heaven for you, inheritance. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, talking about your possession now in Christ. Kept by the power of God through faith. Are you kept by the power of God through faith? Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein we greatly rejoice. Part of what we were singing this morning. Rejoicing in the redemption that we have and the claims that we have in heaven. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold testings or temptations. The Bible recognizes that. I had mentioned the last men's Bible study, which was 2 weeks ago, you guess no doubt, this past one, about the conversation we had about Bibles being in heaven. Us Bible-toting folks would might have to have a placebo for a little while. A little Bible to carry around because we won't be comfortable without it. Just that was kind of lighthearted. But no, we'll have the real thing. The truth will be right before us. Jesus Christ. In that meeting, though, speaking of possession, Sean asked about cell phones. And I was wondering, is he asking about heaven? Because that's what we were talking about. Are we going to have cell phones in heaven? Sean really likes his cell phone. He was actually wondering what's going to happen to his cell phone once he's taken into heaven. And it's left behind there on his desk. The reality is all will be left behind. This is what we talk about in men's study, just to give you some insight. The reality is all will be left behind. You can reference the Job's verse. There's a man a long time ago that said that. Those words right behind you. Naked I came into this world. And you came into a room filled with strangers, all dressed up, and here you are naked. No conspiracy, no scandal. Naked you came into this world, and guess how? You're going into heaven. No possessions, no nothing, man. And there will be no shame either. So don't worry about that. We will be before God, cloaked and covered in His light and His righteousness. We'll be wearing the righteousness of God. I have no idea what that looks like, but it's going to be great.
We're not going to be naked, I hope.
No. We'll be covered in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So none of us have come into this world with anything. Even cell phones and all that stuff. We came into this world naked. This should make us wonder, especially of us that are good investors, good future lookers, what is worth investing in? I don't know if some of you are old enough to be investing maybe in retirement or whatever, and they give you a whole portfolio of all these difficult things to decide upon. You want to put your money in bonds and mutual funds overseas? You want to put it here? I don't know what all that stuff is. So you just eeny, meeny, miny, and maybe take on a little bit of what somebody recommends. What's really worth investing in? These temporary things? Well, for the temporary, maybe. Eternity is a very long time. Could you imagine going on a vacation as a child? Man, I loved going on vacation. Man, you would think about it. Remember that? For those of some of you who are still young enough, remember thinking about the family vacation that was coming up. Maybe it was going camping, maybe it was going to the shore, and you would be like, man, I'm going to save up for that. So you'd scrimp, you'd do your quarters, you'd mow the lawn, you would be saving up, and pretty soon you got $5 or $10, the most money you've ever had in your life, and you know where that's going. That's going on vacation with you. Can you imagine if you, as a child, you're halfway there and you stop at a souvenir shop like Cracker Barrel, all these novelties in there and candy. You've got all that, you got that $5 or $10 in your pocket. Of course, I'm talking in the 70s now, that would have gone a long way when I was that age. You scrimped and saved and you've been hoping and waiting for this time, but somehow you'll lose your mind, which can happen with children very frequently, in the novelty shop and you blow it all. You just couldn't resist. You get all that stuff that's there that you could possibly afford. And then you arrive at your destination. Vacation. Empty pockets. You can't buy that collection of seashells at the thing there at the store. Whatever these nice things are. You get empty pockets. What a bummer! What a bummer to arrive in eternity with nothing to show except hay and stubble. Empty pockets. What are you talking about? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about this. We're talking about inheritance, future. We're talking about possession now, and the Lord being both of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, that's faith in Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Guess what? We all have a mixture of that. We have things that we've done that maybe we thought we were doing for God, but wasn't called by God. Maybe it was pressure from other people. It was pressure from your church. That wasn't really a calling of God. That's hay and stubble, folks. I don't care how hard you're working. It's hay and stubble. You need to be directed from God. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to have an intimate relationship with God. My sheep know me. They hear my voice and follow me. If I'm preaching anything else, leave. If I'm preaching follow me or follow what this church is saying, leave and leave in a hurry. Follow him. Listen to his voice. His sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. You'll sort through all. You'll be able to discern what's your own emotions, what's your own stuff going on in his voice. The word helps out tremendously. It's so important, the word of God and the discernment of God's leading. So if any man build upon that faith in Christ, what are we going to build? Gold and silver, some good things, following God, precious stones, then wood, hay, and stubble is mixed in there. Every man's work shall be made manifest, it says, 1 Corinthians 3. For the day shall declare, that's the day you stand and me stand, before God. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I didn't just make that up. That's reality, folks. That's reality. There will be a fire, and it's a fire in God's eyes as he looks at you. All that stuff is going to burn away. That's wood, hay, and stubble. And what's going to remain is gold, silver, and precious stones. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there's that burning away when we get to heaven of anything that was done that wasn't for Christ. All right, but praise God, we're human beings. He understands that. And that burning process is not going to be a burning process to destroy us. It's a burning process to finish us up, to process us into heaven. Material things may not be your issue as a priest or priestess this morning. You have a loose grip on those things and stuff. It's like, whatever. I'm a good steward of it. Way to go. You use these things to enjoy and share to the glory of God. How about the investment in your image? Oh, don't go there. Hey, let's get to lunch here, man, preacher. Don't touch that one. Mindy recently reorganized. She's very good at reorganizing. I don't know where she came from, spaceship or something. we're average. She's out of this world. She could turn a room into just amazing things. So she did that with a laundry room, and for the first time in probably 25 years, I have a mirror where I get dressed. I've always got dressed in the laundry room with no mirror, just get dressed. That's why I look like this a lot of times when I come in. A lot of times people at work will see me like this at the desk, and they'll just come over and fix it. Don't even say anything. So now I got a mirror, I'm all set. That's not gonna happen anymore. Was kind of a strange experience, though. I definitely see I need to get some exercise coming out of the shower and seeing that thing. All right. Question for you. Some of you should know this right off the bat. On Facebook, when you take a picture of yourself and post it, it's called a?
Selfie.
Cool. I just learned that 2 weeks ago. I'm so with it now. For some folks, this can be a lifetime investment. Not necessarily Facebook selfies, but something like it. The image that you want to portray to the world. The person and legacy you want to be known to be. Maybe the trophies or the plaques on the wall can be your selfies. The certificates or certifications, the diplomas, the achievements, the awards. This is who I am. Today we're looking at the true selfie. We open it up every Sunday and Wednesday and Tuesday and hopefully every day at home. This is our true selfie, the Word of God. This reflects who I am. I need this in the morning to be looking at. It reveals the beauty and the beast in me. It reveals the truth about God and it reveals the truth about me. It draws me closer to Him. It's a mirror. It's a mirror not only reflects, but it transforms me. Do any of you have one of those magnifying mirrors? The girls have it, I think, for makeup sometimes. My mom had one. I haven't seen one since. If you're a guy, don't answer. Mindy, you have one?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. The first time I looked at that, I was like, whoa, that's scary, man. A pimple looks like the size of a mountain, you know. And it's like, why do girls torture themselves by looking at it? Oh, my. So mirrors, all right. Reflecting back to us this morning. What's happening today is about our priesthood. We should be looking at this like a mirror and say, this mirror is saying, this is Paul, this is what you're supposed to look like, a priest unto God. All right? And it's reflecting that. I hope you see that this morning. I hope you look at it that way. Not someone else, not Gretchen, Kelsey, Maddie, Mindy, Jen. It's not for someone else when we're looking in here. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Make it a personal experience, a personal reflection of who you are and who you need to be, who you're growing towards. So I hope you look at this morning with me and say, you know what? I am a priest. Wow. That's awesome. Let me learn what that means. Let me learn about inheritance and what possession means now. What it means to have the Lord as my possession. What do you do for a living? Let's look at verses 3 through 5 here. And this shall be the priest's due from the people. What he receives from the people. From them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be an ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. That's not your maw, that's the stomach, like tripe people would eat. So I don't know, the parts they got to eat doesn't sound very good. The first fruits also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons, forever. Forever. We're all in it forever. That sound good? We're in this forever. What do you do for a living? I've gotten asked that question a lot, and I wish a lot of times I answer, I'm a preacher first before I say, I'm a computer technician. A lot of times it gets out first, the computer thing comes out first. That's where the bank check comes from. Well, I'm a computer tech. I'm a receptionist, a school teacher, a mom, a mailman, an astrophysicist. Is that really your main occupation? Is that what you see when you look in the mirror after your daughter sets it up for you in the basement? If it is, I have a better mirror for you. Something more clear, something more true, and it is the Word of God. Look at verse 5 with me. Look at the mirror this morning. Look at verse 5. Know that you've been chosen, for the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all thy tribes God has chosen you and me. Recently, speaking of Facebook, there was somebody posting a sand sculpture of Jesus Christ after he had come down off the cross, and Mary is there in what seems to be a very sad scene. Jesus is passed at that point. He had died. He was taken off the cross. I was amazed at how intricate and masterfully someone could spend time on sand and make something so beautiful. So intricate, spend that much time working on sand. And it hit me looking at that. It shocked me, this beauty that it had. That it could be made up of something so simple as sand, something so temporary. And it hit me that one of those grains of sand is me. Part of the gospel story, part of that passion story includes you and me. We're just a very tiny part, but we're there. We make up that whole picture of Christ, and he surrounds the whole thing. It's incredible. I didn't just show up to church someday for some random reason. I was chosen, and so were you. It was by divine appointment and calling that he has brought me and you to himself. For certain, many are called, the scripture tells us, but they push away the light and stay in the darkness, for they love not the truth, we're told. That's the difference. What's the difference between me and the person that hasn't received the Lord? They love not the truth. Push it away. They want to stay in sin. They would rather have that. So they push it away. It comes out in many forms. It might not be logical. You might try to relate to somebody in logic and sense. It's not happening. They don't want it. They don't love the truth. They'd rather have a lie to enjoy sin. It might not be their time yet. I went through those years, and many of us have. Pushing that light away. So the sad fact is that while many are called, that is the whosoever's in John 3:16, whosoever shall believe in him, few will enter that place and receive Christ and be part of that chosen, one of those grains of sand. By the way, you should repost that so other people know what I'm talking about. If you're not one, I only have a few friends on Facebook. The invitation is to all of us grains of sand, small and tall, young and old, first child, middle child, last child. Many are called, the old, the poor, the rich, the family in the banana leaf hut in Haiti, the family on Main Street in Port Byron. Many are called, many are invited, but few will respond in comparison. Few will accept the fact that God loves them, has died for them. One grain of sand is not different from the other on the beach, but yet there is a figure of Jesus on that beach. It's where that grain of sand is in relation to Christ that matters. It's dying in Christ that matters, not how much stuff you have or how much stuff you don't have. Get that out of your mind. Dying in Christ. These are verses that introduce us to the teaching of inheritance, things to come, also about our possessions now. We have a journey on this earth in this earthly body. I'm not going to stand in my boxers out in the middle of my field and wait for God to take me to heaven. I tried that once, but no, I didn't. I have a life to live now. I have roles to fulfill and responsibility. So do you. I have to eat and drink and breathe. Verses 3 and 4 speak of the physical needs being met for the priests of God. The things I just read there speak of those physical possessions, the stuff that is necessary for us to live. These are practical things. In some cases, we know in the scripture that God rained, or more like snowed, manna from heaven. Food actually came down from heaven. Bread from heaven, a symbol of Jesus, by the way. And he also produced water from a rock miraculously. Not a natural spring, but a divine rock that moved with them. Another picture of Christ, by the way. He also, did you know, sustained their clothes. They had shoes that didn't wear out. I don't know if they're made out of steel or whatever, but no, they were divine shoes. Miracles are possible and wonderful. But here in these verses, we're not seeing miracles, at least in the obvious. Verses 3 and 4 speak of the natural sharing of Christ's people with each other. These verses, we don't see bread falling from heaven when it talks about the priest being fed, or water from a rock, or divine clothing. What do we see here? We see the priest of God, that's you and me, benefiting from the people of God, that's you and me, who share and give to his glory. I do not have a giving nature naturally. No way. I was not born with a giving nature. Selfish with a capital S. In fact, that S looked like a snake. I am selfish. I'm a shellfish selfish. I don't have a giving nature naturally. It came from above. When I was born again, I started to be transformed in his image. A new creature in Christ, things are different. All things become new. I start to reflect him more accurately. God most definitely promotes and loves aggressive sharing to the benefit of his royal priests and priestesses, you and me, sharing with each other. Note the materials that are mentioned here. Meat, grains, oil, fleece, it's fibers, wool and yarn from a sheep. These are the essentials, the food being obvious. The oil has multiple purposes, cooking and heating. The fleece being fibers for clothing. So these are the basic essentials. Basic elements of what a church should be sharing with each other. No one should be short in one of these things and someone else having it. No one! If someone brings to me an internet bill, it says, Pastor, you mind taking care of this? This is my $120 internet bill with all this other stuff hanging off it. I have no problem saying no, and don't ask anybody else in the church either. From the Word of God and the reflection of this mirror, I see what we should be sharing. The very basic, essential things. Sharing. It is from God. If you are blessed by the church, I want to make that point real clear today. It is from God. If you are blessed from the church or from someone in the church, privately, know who the head of that church is. It's Christ. If Christ is not the head, run. If there are strings attached, run. If someone is giving you something in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, let it be 100% so. No strings attached. That's Christian giving. You are not above that person because you gave them something. In fact, if anything, you are below serving them, washing their feet. If you want to look at it in a correct perspective. Look, you can get blessed and blessed and blessed, but the giver is even getting a bigger one. That's the secret of Christian life. It's better to give than receive. Maybe you've heard that before. The giver is actually getting a blessing at the same time, so don't worry about it. Double blessings are going on. If this church gave you $1 million, let me know about that first. But if they did, you would owe nothing to it but the love that we all owe each other to begin with. That's what it says in the scripture. Owe man nothing but love. If I gave you $1,000, and it's from the name, in the name of Jesus, here you go, just to meet your need. How much do you owe me? Come on, class. Zero. Do I have any leverage over you in your life because of what I gave you? To serve in the church now or something like that. Better not tar and feather me if I go that direction or anybody else does. If there's strings attached, run. Don't take the money either. Don't take the money and run. Be careful with that. So this church gives with no strings attached, because it's God that's giving through us. And it's to His glory, not ours. How dare we mess with His glory and touch His glory? How dare we even think of it? It is a blessing to give. You could take that million for that example and say, thank you, Paul. You know what? The next day, you can come to me and say, God's calling me to Alaska and start a ministry. God bless you. See you. There's no strings here holding you down. You owe nothing. We owe nothing, the scripture says, but love to each other. And that's a debt we all have to each other. It starts. It stays that way too throughout as our walk in Christ. The scripture is replete. That means there's a whole bunch of it, of people in need, and the church responding from day one in the church to this very day today. 2 Corinthians talks about it. It's all through there. I'm not going to go into those verses. I want to move ahead a little bit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, talk about those things. People in need, church responding. God's hands responding. Don't be afraid of the scripture this morning. Don't be afraid of what you see in the mirror. Don't be afraid to be forged and shaped by the Word of God. Yield to it. Give them to it. Yield to the Word of God. His Spirit, allow His Spirit to gently smooth the ripples and distortions out that each one of us have, the image of God to become more clear in our life. Let's keep looking at this mirror this morning. We have a few more minutes. In verses 6 through 8, and if a Levite come, here comes a priest, here comes a believer from another town. Maybe they were even from Conquest or Cato. And if a Levite come from any of the gates out of the Israel where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, so he show up to the temple, show up to church, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, put him to work, as all stand there before the God. They shall have like portions to eat besides that which comes of the sale of his patrimony, that means the support of his family. So immediately he is, or she is, included in the work of God. I think I alluded to this last week. We'll be talking about new people coming into the church. And that brought me to that thought as I was going through this, and God is making provision for that in the scripture as we look at it, saying there will be new people that come to you, new Levites, new priests, new believers. These are more instructions regarding the priesthood, your and mine. These instructions about receiving a priest, receiving new people into the church, we can apply that to us today. We do not receive unbelievers into the church. What? You mean you're going to hold the door back and not let them in? That's not what I mean. Yeah, we let unbelievers into the building, definitely, absolutely. Lay the carpet out for them. But the body is not something they can join by just sitting in a chair, sitting in a mercy seat. It is something you were adopted into. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes faith in Christ. Why instructions to receive this believer and make them feel welcome and part of your body? Why do we have these here? I can tell you from experience. It's very important to do. In the flesh, we can be fearful and prideful, and that results in what people perceive as coldness or clickiness. And when it might be, you're just afraid to go talk to somebody and say hi. I have found in my own experience, like I said, that newcomers are very, very sensitive to this. They feel like outsiders to begin with, because they are. They're strangers. You don't know them yet. And some of them feel like feral cats, even, just come to get a few scraps of whatever's being thrown out. So they really, some people really are coming with a great need to be welcomed. What surprised me, I guess, in my own experience, is that it happens here in our own little church. Not that we intend to. Sadly, I don't realize this quite often until I hear about it much later on. But we learn and we move on. What we're seeing here in this 4,000-year-old mirror, these verses, still holds true today. God is making a declaration for this for a reason, to receive that believer and include them. You see that the spirit of inclusion happening there. They feel welcome. People can be very sensitive to this feeling of not being part of the group, and that it could take not weeks, months, it could take years for that person to feel like they're part of the group. Years have gone by, and we still kind of hear that from some people, that we need to include and embrace. And when we think we're done doing that, do more. Not out of phoniness that's obnoxious. We're simply yielding to His Word and being transformed by it so His Spirit can lead us to do it right. It's never external. Never take it as external. Well, the pastor just said something. Oh, there's another rule. There's another rule. That's another to-do. Paste it on the wall. Get one over there. It's an internal thing. He says He's going to write His law where? On the wall? Well, we have His Word on the wall, but ultimately, where does it need to be? In our hearts. He's going to bring this truth about welcoming people, the simple truth about receiving people into the body of Christ, into our hearts where it's a natural thing. It's not out of phoniness. It's not out of the pastor's spear in your back. Nothing like that. It comes off obnoxious and fake then, okay? We need to be natural but supernatural. Amen. Will there be people that come into the church that have issues? Yes. Will there be people that do not have issues coming to the church? No. We are people. Treasures in earthen vessels. The key word is earthen. That's clay, that's dirt, and we all have dirt. We all have issues, okay? And when we receive people, it's going to be people that have issues because they're like us. Grains of sand that have issues, earthen clay. We need to remember the lesson of Noah, of course, talked about previously. We can clean all the people, problem people, out of the church, and guess what? No one, including myself, remains. This is, again, speaking to having that spirit of welcoming people and not looking for maybe the echelon or upper echelon of something you have in your mind of what a Christian is. Just receive them in love. We can empty a church real quick if we clean all the problems out. In fact, that'd be the first one to go out. Church is going to look like this. An empty church with me looking in. We need to look at each other after Christ. We all know we have faults and issues. And we need to encourage each other in the things that we see developing in Christ. And that's the way we're going to grow and grow. You like that nice fresh breeze? It's coming Thursday. Anybody hear about that? Spring is coming. Really? It was canceled 3 weeks ago, but now it's coming. Maybe you have some stories this morning of feeling welcomed in some sort of group. Maybe it wasn't even a Christian group. It was just maybe the job or whatever. Maybe it was woman's prayer, men's prayer, whatever. Maybe you have some stories about having those feelings and experiences. And I think that's an important thing to share. And we'll take communion next week. And part of the testimony that I would like you to share and give is what it means to you to be accepted and feel that way. And what were some things that you remember being accepted into the body of Christ and how... And some of those experiences that you might have. So it'll be a testimony time for that. And during this week, it'll be a focus for communion as well. Focus on the fact that Jesus died for you. This whole week, wake up in the morning, Jesus died for me. Go to bed at night, Jesus died for me. Focus on the simple truth of the gospel this week, please. And come prepared if God is leading you to stand up and give a testimony about this very thing. About some experiences you've had, positive or negative is fine. I'll share two as we close today. One particular church, I'll start with a bad example. It was in Auburn, and this is, again, because we are very super sensitive. This person might not even attend to act like he did or whatever. But I brought my kids, and I had real little kids at that time. Brianna, Minnie, and Tony was just a baby. And I don't know, maybe we weren't dressed that well or something, but I just really felt that up and down look. And that face too, and maybe that person had naturally had a face like that. But I was like, man, that guy's really just like making me feel like an old piece of cheese here. And because we just were visiting churches, looking for a church to plant in. And really felt a real cold shoulder there. Isn't that crazy? 20 years later, I remember that look. Oh, look, how sensitive we are as people. And we need to remember that, each one of us need to remember that, to really take care in that area. Some good examples before we go today. I'm going to leave you on a good note. Troopsville Community Church, I can name the names now because they're good examples. Troopsville Community Church, we walked in there looking for a church, and we came in late. Kids, and you know, hanging all over us, and there they are. We walk in the door, and there's a big, long table spread with food. And they're all sitting down, nice warm atmosphere. It was plenty warm in there on a cold day. And they just said, come on in, sit down, and have a meal with us. And it was just like, wow. And it's, you know, I've been happy if they threw us a bun or something, or said, here's a bulletin, come back next week. And they said, come down, eat with us. And I remember that too. Just like that look. One more good example. I'll give you two good examples. Armor of Light, the other side of going north here. Armor of Light. I knew what God had called me to Port Byron to preach. No question about it. No question I wasn't ready either. And so I went to Armor of Light, talked to pastor up there, and said, I just need a place to grow a little bit because God has called me to this town. And he said, come on and stay as long as you like. That sounds great. Just supporting and praying for me and loving our family. He said, by the way, we have a family camp out this weekend. Do you want to join us? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're feeling pretty hurt right now. And I will remember that forever. Armor of Light. Way to go. Recommend that church. And I don't know if I can recommend Troopsville. I don't know where they're at now. But I do want to remember that as a good experience. I just haven't been connected with them. That's all I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to talk about witches and psychics next week, so come prepared and excited. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mighty power, Lord, that dwells within us. Lord, your manifest power that's working in our hearts. Man, Niagara Falls is a dribble compared to you, God. You are a torrent of living water. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for making us new creatures. We're just a grain of sand in a great, 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 great gospel story, Lord God. Lord, hold us tight as a church. Cause us to move mightily in this town, Lord, and we pray for revival, Lord. Use us as lightning rods to disseminate your power and your love and your truth in this town, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us forward. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. If there's someone here today that doesn't feel included, I'm telling you, you are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted beyond your head can even understand being accepted. You are loved and accepted in the Beloved. You are such an integral part in the gospel story. Know that you are the apple of his eye this morning. Receive his love. Say, yes, Lord, I receive all of your love. Change me, transform me, take me forward. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the meal. Even if you didn't bring anything, don't sneak out. Grab something. Amen.